Amen. Psalms chapter number 46. Psalms chapter 46. I'm going to read this chapter and then give you what I felt like the Lord laid on our hearts tonight. There is something about that name, isn't there? Amen. I mean, there's definitely something about the name Jesus. We've said it over and over, but you know, you could walk into a crowd and in the middle of Turner Field and holler Ralph, and you may get somebody's attention whose name is Ralph. But you walk in that crowd and holler Jesus, and you've got everybody's attention. Amen? No other name stirs up as much strife and resentment as that name. Amen? Psalms chapter number 46. We're going to read this chapter tonight. Psalms 46, verse number 1. The Bible said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. I like this. In trouble. Amen. He said, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. I thought about that song Brother Micah Henson wrote, I stand on what never changes. He said in verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. He said in verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, O the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Amen. Tonight, I keep watching for him to come back in my microphone. Amen, brother. Thank you. You can just drop it. Let me get geared up here. I'm just going to read verse number 1 again and then give you what I felt the Lord put on my heart. He said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I love that verse of Scripture right there. Amen. Trouble. I wonder how many of you know something about trouble. Come on, can I get a witness? You know something about trouble. Somebody said when it rains, it pours. And that's about the truth. When stuff starts happening, it just seems like it just gets on a roll and just snowballs. And it seems like everywhere you turn, something's wrong and something's happening. Am I right about it? Amen. Trouble. It's not if you have trouble, it's when and how bad. We're all going to have trouble. Brother Allen talking about having a hard time finding work. Some of you has been applying for jobs and looking for jobs for months on end with no hope, no help, no daylight in sight. I'm talking about trouble. We're not unfamiliar with the term. Amen. Amen. Trouble comes, but even when trouble comes, I think we can find ourselves, and I'm kind of springboarding off Sunday night. I think we can find ourselves still happy. Amen. Even in the midst of trouble. Why? Because he said God is our refuge. He said he's a very present help in trouble. Amen. Thank God for that. Now listen, we looked at these
this storm right here in Psalms chapter number 46. In verse number 2, he talks about an earthquake. He said, though the earth be moved. And then in verse number 3, he talks about the force of a flood or the fury of a storm. So when these troubles come and these trials come, how do we cope? People are doing everything in the world to try to cope with their problems. And we've got all we need in God. Yeah, amen. Amen. To cope with our troubles and to cope with our problems. Let me give you some things that we must realize if we're going to be able to cope with our trouble. How many of you ever just went to bed at night and thought, boy, it'd just be better if I didn't wake up? Yeah, amen. You ever just laid down to bed and thought, boy, God, why don't you just take me out of here? Amen. I've thought about that. I've thought, Lord, why don't you just kill me? My wife could get the insurance money and pay the house off and everything would be great and groovy. Amen. And I'd be down here pushing up daisies somewhere. Trouble will make you feel that way. Trouble will get you into a place where you don't want to get up tomorrow. You don't want to hear the phone ring. You don't want to talk to people. You just want to crawl into a hole somewhere and hide. But I don't think that's God's intention for you and I. I don't think that's where He wants us to live, do you? Amen. I don't care who you are. You're not above those days. We're all going to have them. But that shouldn't be a constant in our life. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be a common everyday thing. I mean, we're going to fight battles and we're going to have storms. We're even going to walk through periods of discouragement. But that shouldn't be the norm. For you and I who know Christ as our Savior, our sins are gone. There's a place being prepared for us in heaven. A city not made with hands whose builder and maker is God. Our life should be surrounded with more happiness than unhappiness. But it seems like in the age we're living, I'm seeing more Christians who are just unhappy. Just unhappy. Miserable. Seems to be the norm for them. Something's wrong. God does not inflict that. I think we inflict that upon ourselves. We forget about what Romans said about renewing our mind. And boy, we let that old brain and that way of thinking, we tell ourselves how horrible everything is. Everything's not that horrible. I know we're going through an economic crunch or whatever you want to call it, recession, depression. I don't know what it is, but I promise you, we still got it pretty good. Amen. We still got it pretty good. I wonder if some of those old-timers don't look at us and go, you bunch of pansies, you don't know nothing. Yeah, amen, you never seen a hard time. Yes. Amen. I'll give you some things that will help us to cope with our trouble because we're going to have to learn to deal with it or die from it. One of the two. When trouble comes, we're going to have to learn to deal with it or die from it. Number one, you must realize that God is a refuge for His people. God is a refuge for His people. He said in chapter 46 and verse number 1, God is our refuge. What's a refuge? Come on, talk to me. It's a hiding place. Amen. That's exactly what it is. It's a hiding place. Not only is it a hiding place, but it's a safe place. It's a safe place. A refuge. I don't know if you remember reading about the cities of refuge in the Old Testament. But it's kind of when you got there, you had asylum or you had a whatever you call it. They couldn't get to you in that city of refuge. Amen? And that's what God is for me and you. In our time of trouble, we can run to the rock. Amen? We can run to God. Why? Because He's a hiding place for you and I. Hey, there's a place I can get with God. Hey, that the devil can't find. Me and the devil can't touch me. Hallelujah. And that's in Him. Yes, amen. Amen. Some of you just need to run for the refuge tonight. Amen. Amen. You've run everywhere else. Amen. You filled out job applications till you're tired of doing it. Oh yeah. You've looked at those bills till they're just about to make you pull your hair out. That's what happened to CJ. He started looking at their bills. We've looked everywhere else. We better look to our refuge tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I told Brother Tony Shirley the other day, I said, once y'all get over with all your camp and everything, I said, I wouldn't mind borrowing a boat. I'm just coming up there to camp and getting away a couple days, just hiding. Just a place to hide. He said, anytime, you know you're welcome. But I was thinking about this as I thought about that refuge today. We need to realize He is a refuge for His people. Sometimes we go to Him and we go to Him for help. Sometimes we go to Him for comfort. Sometimes we go to Him for strength. By the way, He said in that very same verse that He was not only His refuge, but His strength. Sometimes we just need to go to Him and say, Lord, I need to hide with You a while. Lord, I just need to hide with You a while. The clouds are rolling in and the billows are raging and the winds are blowing and it's getting kind of dark in my life. God, I just need You.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because He is our refuge. Not only is He a refuge for His people, but He's continually available. He's continually available.
Amen.
It's kind of like trying to get a hold of me sometimes. Preacher told me the other day, he said, man, you're the hardest person in the world to get a hold of. There may be times I don't want to be got.
Yeah.
Amen. There may be times I don't want to be got. I mean, boy, my life gets as overwhelmed as yours does, and sometimes I just don't want to answer the stupid thing. Amen. Aren't you glad God's not that way? Aren't you glad He is continually available? He's never one time been too busy for you. I'm talking about, man, He's still controlling the entire universe. He's making the sun come up every morning and set every evening. He's making it rain on the earth. He's making the tides roll in and out on the ocean. I mean, He's doing it all, but yet He's never too busy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Bible said He never sleeps, never slumbers. Bible said He ever liveth to make intercession for us.
Amen.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Amen.
Do you know what? You don't have to wait till altar call.
Amen.
On Wednesday night or Sunday morning or Sunday night. You can call on God anytime.
Yes, sir.
Anytime you can call on God.
That's right.
I remember that old song about God's the royal telephone. Was that what it was? Thank God. Thank God. He's never said, I'll get back to you.
Amen.
He's never said, I'm on the other line with Brother Freddie. I can't deal with you right now. He can deal with him, and He can deal with me, and He can deal with you, and He can deal with the entire shooting match all at the same time. That's who He is.
Amen.
Somebody ought to shout right there.
Amen.
Now, there's been times I've talked to Him and I didn't feel like He was listening. But He was. But He was. He's continually available.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
He is thoroughly adequate.
Yes, sir.
He's thoroughly adequate. Not only is He always available, but He's adequate for what? You don't know what my problem is. Have you ever seen how big God is?
Yeah.
I mean, you ever just sat and pondered on it and thought about Him? Have you?
Amen.
You know what the Bible said? I know Oral Roberts one time said he saw Him. And He was 90 foot tall. Yeah, said He saw Jesus and He was 90 foot tall. I thought, man, there's your problem, dude. You got a little bitty Jesus.
Yeah.
My Bible said that the earth is His footstool.
Yeah.
Now you think about that just for a minute. I don't know how many miles it is around this thing, but the Bible said He just props His feet up on it. Hallelujah. I said He's adequate.
Yes, sir.
He's adequate. He's big enough for what you need. My little brother called me months ago, whenever it was. Probably facing one of the greatest storms in his life. He was afraid that he might even lose his children. Crying uncontrollably. My heart broke for him. But I'll never forget, I told him, I said, John, if you'll just get back to God and trust Him, He can take care of this.
Yes, sir, brother. Amen. Yes, He can.
One of these days, I'm going to have him give a testimony and just tell you how good God's been.
Yes, sir.
You know what he's been? He's been adequate. He's been big enough for the situation every single time. Hey, he was big enough for your cancer, and he's big enough for your problem. Amen. Thank God he's adequate tonight. Whew. You ever bit off more than you can chew? He ain't. You ever felt like you was fighting a losing battle? He ain't. Why? Because he is not only constantly available to you and I, but he is completely adequate. Amen. We used to sing that song, Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. Oh, if we had lived like that, you know what he'd be? All we need. Well, we can sing about it. But I mean, come on. How many of us honestly live like Jesus is really all we need? I'll be honest with you, and I don't say this lightly because I know so many of you are out of work, but I'd rather be out of a job than have Jesus, than have the greatest job on the earth, which I do, and not have Jesus. Why? I can survive without a job. I can still kill a deer, amen. I know how to build rabbit boxes. I can catch a rat. I can eat. I can live without a paycheck. But I can't live without him. Amen. We need to realize that God is our refuge. He's continually available, and he's thoroughly adequate, and he's readily accessible. Mm-hmm. The Bible said he's very present. I like that. Lord? Huh? Just like that. You ain't never got to go run to him and say, man, I've been trying to get a hold of you all day. Where you been? No, sir. He's accessible. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said that we can come boldly. Boldly. Into the throne of grace. Isn't that something right there? Boldly. Excuse me, Lord. No, we don't have to come to him like that. All we've got to do is drop our head anywhere, anytime, any given situation and say, Father! You know what David said? David said he heard my cry and inclined to me his ear. You know what that means? Sometimes, I don't know if it's from shooting guns so much or what, but my hearing. If you ever walk up here to talk to me and I turn my head this way, because I can hear you better out of this ear. You know what that is? That's inclining. I want to hear what you have to say. Do you understand? He wants to hear what we have to say. He's interested in what we have to say. Amen. Now, if some people comes toward me, I know I'm fixing to get bad news. I see them coming. I know. They're going to tell me something bad every time. And I'll be honest with you, I don't always want to hear it. But God wants to hear our bad news. Amen. He wants to hear our bad news. He wants to be the shoulder for us to cry on. Amen.
Amen.
Psalms chapter 46, look at verse number 5. I like this. Not only should we realize that he's a refuge for his people, but we need to realize that God resides among his people. Look at verse number 5. The Bible said, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. I like that. That right early. Amen. He's resident among his people. That means he's there. I like that. Where is he? Among his people. Among his people. He said where two or three are gathered in his name, that he'd be standing right there in the midst. Hey, baby. Right there in the midst. Did you know God's here tonight? That ought to do something to us. God's here tonight, in this room. Right here tonight, he's here. He resides among his people. We ought to be glad of that. He is he's a God of purpose. Verse number 4 said he's most high. Woo! What are you saying? Ain't none above him. Ain't none above him. You can't go to a higher level. Why? Because he's the most high. Woo! Somebody say amen. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. He is most high. Most higher than what? Most higher than every problem you got. Most higher than every storm you face. Most higher than every difficulty. Every little thread of depression and anxiety. He's higher than that. Glory to God. I'm glad I'm serving the one who's most high. Amen. He's a God of purpose. Verse number 7, He's a God of power. The Bible said He's the Lord of hosts. I serve a powerful God tonight. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time wrapping my brain around some of this stuff about the Lord. I really do. I love to work with my hands. I love to make things. I do. But can you imagine speaking things into existence? Let there be, and bam, there was. The Bible said, and the Lord saw it, and it was good. I love the mountains. There's only one thing I love better than the mountains, and that's the ocean. We took off just for a couple of days for the 4th of July. I went down to my buddy Norman's, and I just stand there on that beach and look at that thing. Does it do anything to you? I mean, I just go, wow. Wow. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said God measured that in the palm of His hand. Said He measured that thing in the palm of His hand. Now, brother, that's amazing to me. Every river, every creek, hey, thank God. Every underground stream, God said, He measured the waters in the palm. Not palms, palm, one hand. He's a powerful God. He's a God of purpose. And I'm so glad tonight He's a God of patience. He's a God of patience. Brother Allen was testifying a while ago, and he's talking about how God had put up with him. Do you know that's what He's done with all of us? Without you, how much less of God would He be? Wouldn't change Him one bit, would it? He's patient with His children. I can get impatient with mine, but God's patient with us. I believe with all my heart it's the only reason I'm sucking in and blowing out, because God's been patient with me. Somebody said, He'll never make it. And God said, just hang on. He's going to get it. He's going to get it. I'm glad God's patient. Yeah. Let me show you something else about Him. Just things we need to think about when we're going through troubled times. Look at verse number 4. The Bible said, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. We need to realize that God is a refuge for His people. We need to realize that God is a resident among His people. Then thirdly, we need to realize that God sends a river to His people. God sends a river to His people. You may not appreciate a river too much till you've been in the desert a while. You understand that? You may not appreciate that river all that much till you go through a dry spell. Have you ever been through it, battling and come in here on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, and it just seemed like God opened the floodgates and refreshed your soul? Hallelujah. I'm talking about right in the middle of your problem, right in the middle of your storm. I mean, just something that made you bubble down on the inside, something that make you just want to go, whoop! I mean, just get happy. Amen. What is that? That's that river. Amen. I know some of you feel like you're walking over on dry ground, but He'll still send that river. Amen. Amen. That river is refreshing. He said it makes them glad. Wow. That river makes them glad. I don't know about you, but I felt like the Lord just opened up a stream in the desert here Sunday night. I wasn't expecting that, to be honest with you. I told Brother Freddie, before church ever started, I told Brother Charles, I said, y'all pray for me. I'm blank as a sheet of paper. It's one of those deals you'd have to be a preacher to understand, but you look at all your notes and what you've prepared and you go, ooh, I don't want to preach that. Amen. It seems good as I thought it was earlier. Amen. And the Lord said, we don't need your hot message to bless our people. God said, if you'll just stand back, I can do that all on my own. You know what he done in the process? He blessed me too. Thank God.
Amen.
Thank God for that river. That river not only refreshes, but it revives. That river revives, man. It does. It brings life again. Back in the old days, they built cities around rivers. Why? Because it was vital to life.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And that river he sends is vital to our spiritual life.
Amen. Yes,
that river that he sends in occasionally, and we can feel it rush over us. Without it, we'd probably blow our brains out.
Amen.
If we couldn't feel his presence every now and then.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
You're right. Amen. Yes.
You ever came to church and almost didn't come? Have you ever thought this? Well, if I go, I'll just be a hindrance. In the mood I'm in. But something inside you made you get up and go anyway.
Yeah,
and on the way home, you was thinking, whew, boy, am I glad.
That's right.
Uh-huh. You came in and got in the water is what happened. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Now listen. We must realize what God is when trouble comes. But then we must respond. We must respond to Him, even in our trouble.
Amen.
In verse number 2, or verse number 1, he says, God is our refuge. Verse number 2, you know what he said? Therefore will not we, what?
Fear.
Fear what? Nothing. Why? Because He's our refuge. Fear is illogical if God is really our refuge. Amen. He's our resident. He has a river. We need to respond to God. You know what we want most of the time? We just want Him to respond to us. We just want God to do His part.
Amen.
But we need to respond to Him.
Yes, sir.
Huh? You know what this represents? Come on, anybody? Problems.
Amen.
Everything on here represents trouble. Storms that people are going through. Valleys that people are walking through right now. What good is it to write them all down if we're not going to respond to it?
Right.
Amen? Amen? If we're not going to respond to it. Well, I just don't understand why God's doing all this to me. Maybe He's trying to get your attention.
Yes,
get you back to the place where you'll talk to Him again.
Amen.
You ever wonder how much we'd really pray if we didn't have problems?
Amen.
Serious as heart attack. How much would we really pray if we didn't have problems? Probably not near as much. You don't have to say amen to that. I know I'm right. Amen. We need to respond to the Lord. Reflect on what His name means. Who and what He is. But then look at verse 8 and 9. I'm almost done. But we need to then review what God has already done. Are you listening? We need to review what He's already done. He said in verse number 8, come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease. Unto the end of the earth, He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Huh. Let me ask you a question. What's God already done in your life? Has he gotten you through something bigger than what you're going through now? But yet you're still worried? Let me tell you what he did for me. 19 years old, I realized I was going to hell. I called out to him one time, and you know what he did? He forgave me of every sin. Wiped my slate clean, adopted me. Right then and there, adopted me, made me his own child. Now, that's the biggest problem I ever had in my life. You too. If he can do that, if he can do that, that fast and that quick, what that problem you're going through right now, how does it compare to that? Think about what God's already done. You know how much I tell God about Ashley? I hear about somebody else got cancer. I say, God, you did it for Ashley. God, you did it for Ashley. God, you did it for Ashley. You said you're no respecter of persons. You did it for her. Do it again. Do it again. Amen. Amen. We need to think about what he's already done. We worry about the finances around here. I say we. Me and Brother Tom worry probably enough for the whole crowd. But you know what God's already done? We had a $250,000 mortgage, second mortgage on this property. 10% interest. It was time to start making payments. You know what we did? We said, God, we can't. We can't, God. We're going to lose our building. God, you put us here. Now we can't afford it. But you know what God did? He just moved on those people's heart at First Baptist Church. And they forgave that entire debt.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm telling you what he's already done. I'm telling you what he's already done. And I know some of them men that voted to do it. They are tight wads. I know what I'm talking about. I mean, they're tight. They just don't give people $250,000. They just don't do that. That just don't happen every day. But God has already done that. He done it for me. He done it for you. He done it for the sake of these children that ride these buses in. I'm saying we need to think about tonight what God has already done. Not just collectively as a church, but individually. What's God already done in your life?
Amen.
I remember Sister Vanessa coming to church right after we moved here. Her and her sister Veronica. I remember seeing her sit right back over there on the left. Tears. She'd just cry and cry and cry. Wasn't a week go by. She didn't say, pray for my husband. Pray for my husband. There he sits.
Amen, brother.
God did that.
Yes, sir.
God did that.
Amen.
If God can get Warren English in church, and not only that, make him usable and get some good out of him. I'm talking about what God's already done.
Amen.
He can do anything.
Amen.
I like that song they used to sing, "You Can't Ask Too Much of My God."
Amen.
We need to review what God's already done, but listen, then we need to rejoice in what God's promised. We need to rejoice in what He's promised. Not what He's done, but just what He's promised. Verse number 10, He said, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We need to rejoice in that.
Amen.
Amen. My wife and I are starting to get excited about this trip to Australia. I'd be a whole lot more excited if I figured out yet how we was going to pay for it. But we are. We've been online looking at resorts and plane tickets and all that good stuff. We're excited about it. And the reason we're excited about it is because somebody told us we were going. We ought to read John chapter 14 every now and then. And just get plumb tore up because we're going. Right straight up through the sides of the north somewhere.
Yeah, brother. Amen.
We're going to heaven. Why? He promised that.
Yes, sir.
He promised that.
Amen.
Have you ever seen one of those little books? If you're ever in a bookstore somewhere, buy you one. Those God's Precious Promises or God's Little Promise Book. I forget what it's called. I got one to have. You ever, all it is scripture. Scripture after scripture, and it's just all the promises God made in this book right here. I like it. And you know what you can do? You can take those promises to Him. Say, God, You say it. Lord, I'm not trying to put You in some kind of chokehold, but You say it. Right here. Would you like me to read it? You know what? God says, You're right. And I will. Amen. We need to rejoice in His promises. Now listen, I'm done. Lastly, you just need to relax. Just lighten up. Just relax. Rest. You know what He said? Be still and know that I am God. That word still, you know what it means? Still. Quiet. Be still and know that I am God. That's what He said. Hey, I know you're going through it. I know you're tired of job hunting, but just be still. Just be still. We make the worst mistakes in our life when troubles is in our life. Some of the worst decisions I ever made was in the middle of a storm. We need to learn just to be still. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Good prayer.